While God stirs a word in you, and it's even hard to bring it forth. And this is one of them. So I'll say to you tonight would be a good night to turn your cell phone off, to pay close attention, because I believe that God wants to reveal in a very real way the enemy as he's at work in your life, in your family's life, in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, in the end times. Years ago, some of you have heard me, Darren, I talk about this before. Some of you haven't, so for you, those of you who haven't, bring you a little up to speed. Andy's had like 5 prophetic dreams when he was a little boy. First one started when he was about 5. He had about 4 after that. And he didn't know what they were. When they came to him, he would just tell me. He'd look really weird, pale as a ghost, would shut down, not talk, stop playing. And I'd go, buddy, what's wrong? And it'd take me a while, and all of a sudden he would tell me this thing that happened. And so I had written him down through the years and just stuck him in my Bible. We just never talked about him again. Figured if they were of God, they would come to pass. I didn't need to worry about it. I just stuck it in my Bible. The last one he had, he was about 9 or 10 years old. And I'm going to tell you the dream. And I'm going to tell you the dream because if you come to this body, then we're all connected. And as a body, you're connected to each other's anointings. You're connected to each other's callings in God's giftings, prophecies, all of those things. So the last dream he had, we're driving down the road, and he had that look. I said, buddy, what's wrong? You've been kind of quiet last couple of days. And he says, Jesus took me to hell last night, Mom. And I said, really?
As a Christian parent, that's just slightly disconcerting. But you remember to keep this face.
Oh.
So I pulled the car off the side of the road. And I said, well, gosh, I'd love to hear about your dream, honey. Why don't you tell me about it? So he says, I was laying in my bed. And he said, Jesus came and he grabbed me by the hand. And he pulled me up out of my bed. And he took me down to hell. And he described to me what he saw down there. And I said, well, when you were in hell, where was Jesus? He said, he had me by the hand. He was showing me. And he said, you know, Mom, it's just like the Bible said. There's the lake of fire. People were crying and screaming in torment. He began to describe them. And I said, well, what happened then? And he said, then he took me to heaven. And he showed me around heaven. And he described what he saw in heaven. I don't know if he remembers these dreams. Probably not, because I just recently brought them back to him. And he said, and so he showed me around heaven, and he said, and then what happened? And he said, well, then he took me, and we were in this building together. And there are all sorts of people sitting in the building. And he said, I must have been talking to the people, because I was standing talking to them like I was preaching. And he said, and all of a sudden, the room began to get really cold and really dark. And a black being came in through the back door, and it started to walk up through the center of the building. And it walked straight up toward me. And he said, I looked at Jesus, and I said, who is that? And he said, that's the Antichrist. And he said, well, what do I do? And he said, preach to him. And I said, okay, well, what'd you do? He said, I preached to him, and he left. And that was the end. And I said, and he left, and the room went light. And then the next thing you know, Jesus told me I would preach to the Antichrist and to the nations, and then I woke up, and I went, wow, that's really cool, buddy. What did you think about that? He goes, well, I don't know. It was kind of, I don't know. We didn't really talk too much about it, and we just went on with our lives. And recently that dream has come back to me. I've seen some profound attacks going on in people's lives. Sought to really get on my face before God, pulled Andy aside recently, and I said, I just want to tell you something, buddy. He said, I don't think that dream that you had is for years down the road. I think it's for today. And I think the Antichrist is among us, and I think you need to be on your face, and you need to be praying. And here's what I see him doing, and here's the works that I see happening. And said, I don't think it's for 10 years down the road. And it was interesting because when we went to Texas, Pastor Bagwell was preaching, and he came up, and he pulled Andy out of the audience and started prophesying over him, and that was part of what he said also. So in light of all of that, we just really feel like we need to expose some of his works tonight and help you get a greater understanding about the Antichrist, what that really is, and how it seeks to come against the kingdom of God, against each and every one of you, against the body of Christ as a whole, and how we see him coming against you, this body.
See, so many people see the Antichrist and they just think the book of Revelation, and it's this being who is yet to come at some time. That's the Antichrist, and we'll know, and so we'll hope to be raptured before the Antichrist comes. Or there's those people who sit around and are like, I think the Antichrist is really the Pope. I think the Antichrist is really...
It's Obama.
It's Obama.
That's what everybody says, it's Obama.
I'm telling you. I mean, there's a million different thoughts as to who it is. And here's part of the problem with that is the fact that he's already here. We're gonna reveal this to you because, see, the Bible addresses the Antichrist in four separate ways. There is Antichrist. If you look in your Bible, first of all, there is a large A Antichrist and a small A Antichrist. Now, there's simply the most simple ones is those who don't believe in Christ or in Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah, that he is God. This is simply the very first way that God's word describes it, like my brother, who just doesn't believe in God. Now, here's what God's word says about that. 2 John 1:7. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. That's pretty clear. I mean, it's not like might be. Not like they might. There it is. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist who denies Christ, refuses to acknowledge him as coming in the flesh.
I just talked to somebody the other day. They believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. So you can probably immediately think of today people that you know in your life. You may actually love some of them, like we happen to love very much Ron. But Scripture says he's the Antichrist. He's Antichrist. He doesn't believe in him. He doesn't acknowledge him. The second way that the word talks about the Antichrist is those who come to church, those who go to a local church setting of some sort and profess to be one of the followers of Jesus and followers of his way, but they are in church for Antichrist reasons. Okay? They're in church maybe just for religion. I'm not really there because I want to follow after Christ. I'm here because this is what I've always done. I'm here out of traditions. This is what my parents tell me I have to do. This is what I've always done. Some people are in church for Antichrist reasons. They're vessels of evil. There are people that come to church for completely evil reasons. Some people come to church with impure motives. Jerry will tell you, the first time he ever walked through the doors of the church, it was because he was looking for a cute girl. And he realized there were a lot of cute girls in youth group.
And Christian girls were dumb. I'm just going to say that.
Innocent.
I was a wolf. Well, they were innocent. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't. Well, thank you. My perspective. See, they were unguarded. They were little lambs. Mm-hmm. And I was one of these. I was a wolf.
I know people that go to churches looking for a date. Who are at church looking for a... God bless you. Who are at church looking for a spouse. I'm not necessarily there to follow after the ways of Christ. I'm looking for a Christian spouse. I'm looking for a mate. I'm going to grow my business. I know people that go to church because you can grow your business in church.
Do you know we had somebody who came and just took our database and wanted to use it for their Amway or whatever? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was like, absolutely not. You are not allowed to do that. That's not kosher. That's a Jewish joke. That's not kosher.
I know for people that go to church just to fix their spouse. They're not really there to follow in the ways of Christ. I'm here for an Antichrist reason. I'm here to help me. I'm here to get my spouse fixed. I'm here for reasons of control. It's an anti-Christ reason to be in church. I'm here for personal validation. I wrote a book and I want to sell it. I'm here for fame or fortune or maybe to find a new group of friends. I don't know, but my reasonings are anti-Christ. They're for me. They're to help me. They deny the truth. They deny the way, the following. Here's what it says in 1 John 2, 18 through 22. What happens with these people is they always flush out. When their reasons are fulfilled or when they get frustrated because their reasons aren't fulfilled, then they leave the church. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. In other words, they were there for Antichrist reasons. They were not here to follow in the way. They were here to get their way met. And when their way didn't get met anymore, then they left. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies Jesus as the Christ. Such as a man who is the Antichrist, he denies the Father and the Son. Scripture has all sorts of different things to say about people like this. It's whitewashed sepulchers and dead man's bones, blemishes at the banqueting table of Christ, worming their way into weak-willed women, trying to deceive them. Scripture has a lot to say about the Antichrists that come into the body of Christ. Not just this body, any body.
So there's the first two. So here comes the third. This is the most common. The Antichrist being yet to come. The one that we see in Revelation 13. The Antichrist who comes manifesting himself as a triune being. Now, again, I want you to understand the Greek anti actually means like a mirror image. Not we think, here's Jesus, he's all in white and warm, fuzzy glow behind him, and here's the evil one with red horns and a pig, you know, a pitchfork and looking angry. And that's not the way the Antichrist is going to come. If you study, he's going to come as a dragon, as a beast of the sea, and we've got to understand he's going to mimic some things. He is going to show power and miracles. And there's going to be people. See, this is the funny thing. This is one of those things that I always look at. Like Jesus, when he went to the cross, who crucified him? The Jews. Who are God's chosen people? The Jews. Okay. Says the Antichrist is going to have a mortal wound in his head. And he will rise. Again,
mm-hmm.
Read your book in the Revelation. Mm-hmm. But here's what's going to happen. Some well-meaning Christian is going to save us from the Antichrist and shoot him in the head, I don't know, throw a rock at him, whatever, and cause him to be believed dead. And then he will rise again, and everyone will go, it's him. Now, see, he's coming as a deceiver, as a mirror image. Now, in trying to explain this, I've said this a lot of times, but I really want you to get a hold of this, which is, if I have a hamburger, and I say, you can eat of this hamburger, and then you'll never hunger again, you'd be like, okay, and you take a bite, and you find I'm right. The Antichrist is the mirror behind the hamburger that says, that's not really the one. This is. Now, you can't eat of that mirror image. It will not fill you. It will not give you anything. It looks very similar. This is what the Antichrist is going to be doing. He's going to do many miracles, and he's going to walk in certain power and authority, and he's going to draw. He's going to be the most unifying person. See, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. the Antichrist is going to say, I have come to bring peace to the Middle East, to China, to Russia. We're all going to just be one big, happy family. And he is going to come to deceive. But in that, he's going to bring tribulation and persecution. And he will be seeking out those who confess Christ because they must be removed. So the true believers, it says, the streets will run red with their blood. I understand it's scary. But see, and what he's going to do is he's going to talk people into accepting the mark. To accepting the mark. Why? Because it says in Scripture, you won't be able to buy or sell without it. You're going to need a credit card. You'll just have a little mark. And your kids can have one too, so that you can just send them to the store. And they can just... Now look, this is what the enemy is going to do, because we are supposed to carry the mark of Christ, not the mark of the beast. But this is who the Antichrist is coming. He's a copier. He is going to be the lie wrapped in truth. Because see, it says, but because you know it and because no lie comes from the truth, then who is the liar? Well, that's who he's coming. He is the liar, and he is coming as the truth. Which is why you need to know his plans and devices and the things that he's going to do. Not so, this is where people get messed up, not so they can stop him. He's Obama. I'm going to go get rid of him. Well, look, then why did Jesus come? If you could defeat the Antichrist, in Andy's dream, Jesus didn't say, go kill the Antichrist. He said, preach to him. Why? Because the word is a sword.
That's right.
And that's the only thing that is going to accomplish God's purpose. It's not going to be us. It's not going to be the church going, oh, we found the Antichrist. We're going to grab him. We're going to put him in a rocket ship. We're going to send him off. See, God knows what he's doing. And this is what's going to happen. And we need to be aware of it so that we don't fall into his devices. But we're not the answer. You're not going to be the one who slays the Antichrist. It is going to be Christ who defeats his enemy.
But he does. He comes to try to mirror Christ. Even in trying to mirror Christ as a triune being, he's trying to come as a triune being. He's trying to get you to give up the seal of Christ to take the mark of the beast. He's coming to try to show resurrection and power so that you will walk away from the resurrection and the power of Christ, believing that it's not enough, so that you will take his resurrection or believe in the lie. And the last way that we see that the Antichrist is at work is the spirit of the Antichrist. In 1 John 4, 2 through 3, this is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Most people miss the Antichrist altogether because they think of him, like we just talked about, of the Antichrist being that is yet to come, and they miss the fact that he's already here. Kind of like the Jewish people are waiting for a Messiah to come that is already here. And this is what Christians do all the time. I am waiting for the Antichrist to come in, and I'm hoping I escape the hour, and I'm hoping I die before he walks through the back door of my church, and yet he's here amongst us already. They miss him. Christians miss the spirit of the Antichrist because they don't believe he's here. They identify him with, well, of course he's an Antichrist. He doesn't believe in Christ. Well, of course they're Antichrist. You can tell. Obviously, by the way they're living, they call themselves Christians and hang crosses around their necks, and then they go and rob people, and they go and do all that. Well, of course they're an Antichrist. They're saying, but what you don't realize is that he's here amongst us every day. The spirit of the Antichrist, and I see him take down, as Scripture says, profound works of God, profound people of God. And we have got to get our eyes opened about who he is, what the spirit of the Antichrist is that's working amongst us, so that we don't get deceived, taken down by him. When we see him attacking people that we love, when you really understand what the spirit of the Antichrist is, we expose him. Just like you remember when Paul was shipwrecked and he went to get warmed by the fire. When the fire was turned up, the serpent came out. That's our hope to do here today, is to turn up the fire of revelation so that we can expose the spirit of the Antichrist, which is coming. Again, we're looking for him to come. He's already here working.
I want you to think about this. Who is the first Antichrist spirit when upon Christ becoming in the flesh? Who is the first Antichrist spirit? Judas. And who was Judas? One of the 12, one of the elect, whom Jesus poured all his love and affection and compassion for. And yet, what did he do? Exactly the opposite of what Jesus had called him to do. He betrayed the very Savior. Now see, that's what the spirit of Antichrist wants to do, is to take believers. Now look, he already had all the Jews who didn't believe in Christ stirred up. So what did he do? He tried to get one of the 12 to turn. And he did. Why did he turn? Money. Why money? Because it says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Because Judas was looking for out for himself. He went, hey, this Jesus cat, this is not quite as lucrative a gig as I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to be one of the rulers when he came into his kingdom. And he recently told all the disciples, you mistook it all. My kingdom is not of this world. They thought Jesus was going to rise up and lead a rebellion and they were going to be leaders. And he went, wait, my kingdom's not of this world. You missed it altogether. And Judas went, well, so I signed up here for some power, some money, some fame. See, and this is what he wants to do, is to get us in opposition to Christ. How many people have you found in church who have been at opposition with Christ? I'm going to tell you what, there's churches all over this country, all over this world, who are filled with them. To get people into that Antichrist thinking and feeling of simply this, where are you, God? Why did you let this happen? Oh, why have I not been healed? I have a friend who was not healed.
Now I want you to think about, don't think about your friends right now. I want you to think about if the spirit of the Antichrist is talking to you. Or when he has come talk to you. And he has tried to get your thinking or your believing or your feeling in opposition to Christ. To get you to somehow believe, well, God doesn't really care. If he really cared, we watched Hope with Louis Giglio. We watched that movie. If God really cared, why would he let my sister die? That's an Antichrist thought. That's the spirit of the Antichrist trying to come and influence that young man's thinking to cause him to think or feel things that are anti to the truth of Christ and how much he loves him. Well, I've poured out my life for God. And this is what's happening to me. I've given everything I have. I've sold everything to the kingdom. And this is the reward I get? This is what happens? You know, it hasn't been worth it. Why should I bother to go to church? What difference is it going to make? Why should I bother to pray? You know, I've prayed for this for 10 years. Why should I pray for it anymore? That's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's come to attack your mind. The spirit of the Antichrist comes to sow Antichrist thoughts and confusion into the soul of every believer. Into the soul. What is your soul? It's your mind, it's your will, and it is your emotion. The battle is over the soul. The battle isn't over the mind. The battle is over the soul. The spirit came to save the soul, and the Antichrist is after the souls of men. So the Antichrist comes, and he whispers into your soul, and he tries to stir up confusion into your soul, and he says things like that. He's like, You've been praying for your husband for 15 years. You don't see any difference. Where is God in all of that? I've watched my wife serve you for years, her whole life. She gives everything she has. And she ends up with this. See, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, I don't know. You know, I know God's told me to take a step further, but every time I take a step further, something happens to my family. And I don't know. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. I'll tell you what. Jerry watched our son roll over down the highway. And he came home and he said, I'm going to Montana. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. I don't want to give up my son. The Antichrist tells you, if I serve God, you're going to lose all your children. See, that's the Antichrist that comes. And it's a spirit, and he sows this confusion into your mind, into your will, into your emotions, and he just stirs it up like this. And he brings great circumstances, and he brings tremendous trials and phenomenal persecution, and he presses, and he presses, and he presses, and he presses, and the more he presses, the more he goes. What? What does the spirit of the Antichrist say to you? Or to people that you love, to try to stop them, to try to hinder them, to try to steal God's work and God's truth and God's testimony.
See, the spirit of God, or the spirit of the Antichrist, is what came to take Job's soul. I want you to think about this.
That's right.
Satan comes before the throne of God, and he says, there is none righteous. And God says, have you considered my servant Job a blameless man?
Mm-hmm.
Oldest book in the Bible. And the devil goes, all right, fine. Let me have him. I'll change his mind, his will, and his emotions. I will show you that he only serves you because of what you've done for him and what you give to him. And without all of those things, he doesn't really love you. This is what the spirit of Antichrist comes to do, is to draw us away. He sought to draw Job away. God said, except for his life, take everything else. Now, read the book of Job. It cost all of his children. It cost his friendships. I mean, the spirit of the Antichrist, can I tell you, it worked through. Job's friends were probably pretty good, godly people. But they begin to get this, maybe you're in sin, Job. I'm sure you're messed up. As a matter of fact, God wouldn't allow this stuff to happen to you unless that you were in sin. And that's why all you... And Job's wife, bless her heart, she got frustrated too. And she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Now that was her own death warrant too, because she would die with him probably. But I want you to know, God didn't hold that against her. The spirit of the Antichrist sought to steal all of that. And he, read about it. Job was covered with boils from head to toe. Oh, man. I'm telling you what. And he scraped them off with a piece of a pot that was broken. And covered himself with sackcloth and ash. Whew. Man, that's a bad day. That's a bad day. But the spirit of the Antichrist was trying to turn Job's mind, will, and emotions. And Job said, who are we to receive good from the Lord and not evil also? See, his thought, and people have said that, oh, see, God gives evil. No, Job was just saying, look, whatever God wants for me, that's what I want.
But the spirit of the Antichrist came to get him to get away from Christ, to get his mind, his will, his emotions, to stir confusion. People talk bad about Job's wife all the time. You will never hear me talk bad about Job's wife. Not once. I'm going to tell you, I dare any woman to go through that and do it perfectly. I'm going to tell you what. In one day, she lost all of her children. In one day, she lost all of their possessions. Everything that they had ever had was gone. I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine waking up one day and having somebody rush into my house and say, oh, all your kids are dead. oh, somebody came and they took your house and they took your cars and they took everything you own and you have absolutely nothing. Oh, and then I turn around and I look at my husband and he's in more pain than he's ever been in his life. You know what? The spirit of the Antichrist didn't just go after Job. He went after Job's wife too. And you know what happened? She got frustrated and she was like, oh, curse God and die. She fell underneath it. Good, strong people can fall underneath that spirit. Why? Because it's relentless. It is relentless. Now, she obviously was forgiven of the Lord. She was obviously covered by Job's righteousness, because at the end of the story, when everything is restored, his wife was still there. So obviously God forgave her. Obviously she came under the wing of forgiveness and her husband's righteousness. But in all of these things that happen, Scripture says that he never sinned by charging God with wrongdoing. But if you read the book of Job, what you see is you see the spirit of the Antichrist talking to him. And some days, man, he's just right on, right there with God. And other days you see him kind of like, whoa. And then he'll pick himself back up again and he'll get himself right back on. And it is this huge entire book story of the Antichrist coming against a blameless man to try to turn him against Christ. And that's what he does to every one of us.
See, as you read about Job, you see how relentless this spirit is. Remember Elijah? How relentless this spirit is. It's the spirit of Jezebel, which is of the Antichrist. It's the same thing. And it's pursuing a righteous man who has brought the word of God and seen the power of God, literally a fire fall from heaven. And then he's running.
Mm-hmm.
He's got him afraid. Although he's just killed 700 prophets of Baal and 300 prophets of Asherah, he's afraid of one woman who said, I'll kill you. And he went. Now what happened? That was that spirit, that relentless chasing spirit that seeks to steal the authority and the power. How effective was Elijah while he was in the cave?
Mm-hmm.
He was not doing what he was called to do. And in that place, what did he say? God, just take me.
Mm-hmm.
Just take my life. I alone. He's been isolated. He's suicidal. He's just wanting to end it. Now, here's the only thing. I mean, I want you to think about this. So the devil's trying to steal your power, your authority, and your testimony. Why? Because here's what's going to heaven. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony.
That's right.
That's it. Now, if he can steal your testimony, he wins.
That's right.
He cannot defeat the blood of Christ, but if he gets you to deny it or its power, like in the book of Romans, it says, those who acknowledge God but deny the power therein. See, that's the spirit of the Antichrist, who says, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't believe in that whole miracle stuff. I believe in God, but I don't believe in that healing stuff. I believe in God, but, you know, I mean, it's more of a kind of a passive thing. Really, that's the Antichrist. And the spirit of the Antichrist comes to speak confusion into your soul. He wants to speak confusion in your soul because in confusion is every kind of evil. That's what God's word says. And when you begin, when you find yourself in that place, every kind of evil has just got the door open going, nice.
One day you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and you wake up the next day and you're nothing but confused. One day you're full of faith, and the very next day, you're like, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I don't have a clue what's going on with me. Maybe I have no business doing this. And he just comes and he's relentless. And he gets you to be in opposition with the thoughts of Christ about anything he can. in any way that he can. And he uses, just like he's going to use in the last days, he's using today. He's using circumstances. He's using pressure. He's using trials. He's using all of these things. He's using your past. He's using your failures. He's using the transgressions of others. And he's pushing and he's pushing and he's pushing and he's talking and he's talking and he's talking until you get like Elijah and you said, I want to die. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired, God. I've heard you guys say this.
I can't take it anymore.
I can't do this one more day. Take me home. That is an antichrist thought. And there's probably not a person in this room that hasn't been pushed to that point. Not one. Myself included. Come on. How many times has he said it to you? I know. This is the spirit of the antichrist. Does God really care? He comes to get you to accept, to believe, or to just be downright confused. Did God really say that? Does God really care? I mean, I know, have you ever done this one? I know he cares, but where is he in the midst of all of this? And I believe he can save me, but where are you, God? And I know you said this, but why is this happening to me, God? And it just spins you, and it just spins you. Next thing you know, your mind's doing this, and your emotions are doing this, and your feelings are doing this, and you're just like, I quit. I cannot do it anymore. Here's what the spirit of the Antichrist wants to do. He wants to get you disappointed with God. We think of disappointed as, boo-hoo, I wanted a cookie, and instead I got broccoli. That's not disappointed.
That's disappointed.
That's just whatever, right? Disappointed, to be disappointed is to be off point. That's what it means to be disappointed. It's to be off point. When you're off point with God, there's distance between you and God. And when he creates distance in our relationship with God, he does it by pressing and presenting thoughts, ideas, circumstances that will cause you to create distance, antichrist thoughts, distance between you and your Savior. Because when you don't recognize that it's the spirit that you're battling, and this is the, here is the exclamation point at the end of this. If you don't realize that it's the spirit of the antichrist that you're battling, you will start battling the wrong thing, which is you. You'll start going, I suck. What's wrong with me? I should know better than that. I've been saved 25 years. What's wrong with me? I cannot believe I was driven to do that when I know that God could have taken care of that. I can't believe that I want to quit. I know better than to quit. Why am I so depressed? I shouldn't be depressed. I'm a Christian. Ruthie, you've been around a long time. You know this, right? The devil gets you turned on you. And then you're not battling the spirit of Antichrist anymore. Now you're battling yourself, which is the greatest Antichrist thought of all. Which is to kill yourself, which is to condemn yourself. You battle with frustration. You battle with condemnation. What's wrong with me? I know better. How could I do it? How could I think it? I'm no good for this. I should have known better than this. And then he's off to the races because you're battling the wrong thing.
So you've gone to war with the wrong thing. If your enemy gets you to begin to shoot at your own troops, he wins. He never has to fire a shot. And if he gets you to shoot at yourself,
that's right.
I mean, literally, this is so miserable, I just want to die. I don't even want to be in this battle anymore. Now look, I'm going to tell you what the spirit of Antichrist functions in a lot of different ways. Self-hatred, condemnation, fear, doubt.
Think about that for a minute. How many of you in this room have had, and you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, self-hatred and condemnation? Come on. That's the greatest antichrist thought of all. God loves you. He said nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He loved you before you even knew him. When you were in the middle of sin, he loved you. If you are filled with self-hatred, that is an antichrist spirit that is coming to destroy you. Condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in condemnation, you're battling the spirit of the Antichrist.
Because you find yourself battling yourself.
That's right.
You're at war with God, who has come to save you. And you're like, I'm not worth saving. I'm miserable.
That's right.
I'm rotten. I'm a lousy person. I don't deserve to be saved. Who are you to tell God what to do? So that is the spirit of the Antichrist, which causes us to say, surely, God, you wouldn't have chosen me. You'd have chosen somebody else. And he mirrors. And how many times has the enemy used scripture against you? He used it against Jesus in the desert.
That's right.
What makes you think you're any greater than him? Jesus said, a slave is lesser than his master. So what if we're the slave and Jesus is the master, and the enemy went to the very Son of God and said, has not God said, you turn these stones into bread, then turn them into bread? Has not God said that you could cast yourself down from here and the angels would guard you and you would not dash your foot against a stone? See, he brought the very word of God, and this is what the enemy does to you, to me. He says, oh, well, you know, certainly, God says this was sin, and you knew it, and you did it anyway. Surely you've turned your heart from God. I'm certain God has hardened your heart, and you're one of those who has been turned over to the destroyer for the destruction of the flesh. Right? I mean, is this not what the Antichrist comes to do? And he causes us to seek isolation. Why? Nobody wants to be out there exposed. I just want to, I'm a horrible person. Look, the enemy has 1,000 different methods of self-destruction. And I want you to think about some of your own self-destructive patterns, habits, food, substances, not taking care of yourself, allowing yourself to fall into ill health because I'm not really that important. Now, this is part of the enemy's self-destruct. People end up self-destructing. Well, then what happens? If we could go get the Iranian army to self-destruct, we would never have to fire a bullet. And then what would happen? We could go, okay, we win. This is what the enemy is doing to us. The Antichrist, he's trying to tell you God hates you. God is not going to put up with that. God has had enough of you. He is done. You know you've gone too far.
He'll parade thoughts like, God is ashamed of me. God doesn't really want me. God doesn't see what's happening to me. God's got his eyes on everybody else. He doesn't understand. He doesn't really have a desire to help, to change, to restore, to provide for my needs. Why do people end up in sin? Because the spirit of the Antichrist, somewhere along the way, convinced them that God wasn't going to be the answer. God wasn't going to take care of you. God wasn't going to meet your need in that area. God was going to leave you. He was going to abandon you. Like Jerry said, Judas. Judas, he had an idea of what was going to happen and it all fell apart. Peter, you know what? When everything went bad, where did Peter go? Jesus told him, you are the rock on which I am going to build my church. Christ told him that. He looked right at him and he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the spirit of man, you're the rock upon which I'm going to build my church. And then, when everything started falling apart and there was pressure everywhere, and he denied Christ, and he felt guilty, the spirit of the Antichrist said, oh, you've gone too far, Peter. And you know what? He believed him. And where did he go? He went back fishing.
He went back to his old life.
Obviously, I didn't hear from God. Obviously, I went too far. Obviously, I missed it. And Jesus said, go get my disciples, and Peter also. And he called him back. And he defeated the Antichrist that day. And he says, oh, no, let me tell you the thoughts of Christ. The thoughts are, I still choose you. The Antichrist thought is, he doesn't choose you anymore. You've gone too far. Any thought that the spirit of the Antichrist parades before you that is anti to Christ's ways, which is anti to his feelings, which is anti to the nature of him, it's all the spirit of the Antichrist. And it has come intentionally and purposefully to sow confusion into your soul. Not into just your mind, but into your soul. Confusion into your will. Have you ever felt like Paul? Why do I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I do want to do, and why? What the heck is going on with me? You know what? Confusion into my soul, into my will. Confusion into my emotions. Your emotions are all over the place. It's the spirit of the Antichrist that has come to attack you, to try to get you to the point to where you will do like Elijah, and you'll just pray to die. You will curl up in a cave, and you'll say, I quit, and I just want to die.
Well, and look, he's subtle and patient. He's been around for a long time. And he is happy to let you kill yourself slowly, day by day.
That's right.
He is not just like, all right, jump off a building. Oh, dang, I missed it. He'll be like, okay, you didn't want to jump off a building, but you'll keep doing drugs. You'll keep doing this. You'll keep doing this behavior, which destroys you and is killing you slowly. That's okay. I have time. I can wait. See, this is what his... Who is the Antichrist? He has come with three things: kill, steal, and destroy. That is his whole job. Some antichrists are among us, and some of them are easy to see. Again, my brother, he just doesn't believe in God, so that's pretty simple. The guy who goes, don't give me any of your Christian garbage, I don't want to hear any of that stuff, I don't believe in that. That's pretty easy to see. But I'm going to tell you what, he's going to come as a deceiver. We read, a deceiver. What does a deceiver do?
Lie.
Deceives. And who is he going to deceive? He's going to try to deceive us. Why? Because he wants to take as many people with him as he can to the lake of fire. Because he already knows where he's going, but he wants to get you, because he's trying to get back at God. And if he can get you to believe that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't have the power, that God has forgotten about you, that he can get you to begin to think those anti-God, anti-Christ thoughts, then he wins. Oh, I would like to quit doing this, but I can't. Really? That's an anti-Christ thought. Do you know why? Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do anything. If God is for me, who can be against me? And yet, we find ourselves going, I tried. I tried a lot, and it just, I can't. And see, what happens is we give way by fear. Not because you can't. You can't run 10 miles. Can I tell you what? Anybody in this place doubt that you could run 10 miles? If I were to give you at the end of that 10 miles the winning lottery ticket for $473 million, anybody think that you couldn't run 10 miles? I bet you could. Some of you might die trying, but you're going to run 10 miles. See, but he goes, oh, you couldn't run it, Jason. I'll tell you what, Jason would be like this. He'd be like 10 miles down the road. Where's my ticket? Where's my ticket, right? See, the spirit of the Antichrist is among us, and he is powerful, and he is relentless, and he is seeking to attack and draw us into his thought patterns so that we do what? Deny Christ, which makes us then what? Antichrist.
Antichrist. He tries to get us into Antichrist thinking, into Antichrist feeling, into Antichrist decisions. Typically, they're not huge. Typically, it's not like you just wake up one day and decide to go out and sin and leave God. It starts a little bit at a time, and he pushes, and he pushes. And the more you're doing for God, the more he pushes, and the more he tries to stop, and the more he tells you God doesn't care, and the more he tells you God isn't with you, the more he tells you it doesn't matter. You're never going to do it. Your wife's never going to change. Your husband, this is never going to, and he goes on, and he goes on, and he goes on, and he goes on, until one day you begin to go, oh, maybe. Maybe I don't have a clue who I am, and maybe I don't have a clue what I'm doing anymore. And what he's done is he has spun you in that confusion with those, in your soul, with that spirit of the Antichrist. He's got you turned on yourself rather than being able to turn on. It's what I told Andy. I said, if you look around you, you will see, and Scripture talks about this, that in the last days it says that even the elect will be deceived. Well, how are they going to be deceived? Do you know, I'm going to tell you, the elect don't want to be deceived. People that have really given their life to follow after Christ, as you have sought to follow after Christ, none of you sought to fail. Nobody does. Nobody gets up and decides to ruin their life, and nobody says, I'm going to follow after Christ, and then goes, gee, I don't want to do anymore. I had a woman one time, she was a very good friend of mine, and she had come under just relentless again and again and again and again, and they were doing a lot of good work for Christ. And she said, you know what, I decided today, Beth, I'm not going to serve God anymore. I said, really? She goes, yep, I'm not going to do it. 20-some years, I've given my best, I've given everything I had, and if this is really the end of it all, I'm just not going to do it. I mean, I'm still going to believe in God. Here's an Antichrist thought. I'm still going to believe in God. I'll still go to church and all. I'm not going to do that servant thing no more. I'm just not going to do it. I said, really? Nope. I said, how'd that work? She goes, well, so I decided that this morning. And so I put my Bible on the bookshelf, and I sat down on my couch, and I said, I'm not going to serve you anymore, God. I'm done. I said, well, what happened? She goes, well, it lasted about an hour, and then I didn't really know what to do with myself. Because he's so embedded in how I think and move and breathe that I couldn't, and I'm like, fine. So she said, I got back up, and I called you. I'm not really sure what to do now, but I know I can't quit, so I got to figure out how to go forward. But you know what? It was just that spirit of the Antichrist that come to try to get her to just go, I'm done. I quit. This is a strong Christian woman. And he's after the body of Christ, and he has no respecters of persons. He's not going to bug those that are walking in the way of the Antichrist because he doesn't need to. But those that are walking in the way of Christ, he's coming after him. And he's coming after you. And he's coming after your dreams. And he's coming after your hopes. And he's coming after the body. And he's coming after the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. Because if he can get the kingdom of God one by one into Antichrist thinking, what will happen to the kingdom of God? It will stop. It will dissolve. It will cease to exist.
See, he's coming. The spirit of Antichrist is coming to bring confusion to your soul. He is coming to stir within you confusion so that you give up, so that you have had enough. After Cody had this car wreck, I'm going to tell you what. Mm-hmm. The next morning, I mean, I didn't sleep, and I woke up. And I looked at her and I said, babe, I can't do this. I said, I can't serve God anymore. I said, I'm taking you and my boys, and we're going to move to Montana. I'm going to build a compound. I'm going to put barbed wire around it. You, me, and us four no more. That's it. I said, I can't lose my boys. They are so precious to me. Can I tell you what? I still feel that way, except for this. Lord, if that's what you ask of me, then that's what I'll do. Because see, anything that we make more important than him becomes Antichrist. And I remember at a point after that, God said, will you give me your sons? I said, God, please. Not that. Anything but that. You can have everything else. I said, I'll lay my life down, but please not that. You know what he never changed the question? Until I said, okay, yes, they're yours, not mine. And when we get to that place where it's no longer my dream, my hope, my family. But I say, Lord, you know. Can these bones live, Son of Man? You know, Lord. You know. I'm yours. I'm your servant. And what you do with me is your business, and it's not my business. And I don't have a right to protect myself. If I'm a slave and my master says, go into that battle right there, you know what I do? I go into that battle right there. And I don't go, those guys have swords and stuff, and you gave me a slingshot. I'm not really feeling, I don't know that I want to do this. No, he said go, and so we go. There's no right to self-preservation. Right to self-preservation becomes an idol. It becomes God. It becomes Antichrist. My life is no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I don't have that choice any longer. I do, because I can always choose Antichrist. Can I tell you? You've heard me say it before. You have a free will, and God extends your free will to the moment of your death. You can choose to walk away from God at any time. You can choose to sin at any time you want. God will not just, people go, God, if you don't want me to sin, you're going to lock that hotel room door and I won't be able to get in. Stupid. That's not how God works. God said, you know it's wrong. Don't make me try to stop you. You know it's wrong. Don't do it. It's that simple.
One of the things that you've heard us talk about before is how important it is to know the Word of God. And the spirit of the Antichrist will use the Word of God that you don't know, but just as easily he'll use the Word of God that you do know. And so you need to understand that. Just knowing the Word of God is not going to cause you to escape the attack of the spirit of the Antichrist, because just like Jerry said, it was the spirit of the Antichrist that came to sow confusion to Christ when he was in the desert. And when he quoted the word of God to Jesus, he quoted it exactly. He did not misquote it at all. Now, when he quoted it to Eve, he misquoted it. But when he quoted Jesus, he didn't. And his goal? Sow confusion. Well, didn't God say? And isn't that what he comes to do to you sometimes? The exact word of God that you know. Have you ever been in that place where you've just sat down and the word of God comes at you like a sword on every side, to where you're nothing but confused by everything that you think? This word comes and this word comes. Well, don't you know that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that you're saved by faith and not of works? Oh, yeah, but, you know, faith without works is dead. And then the next thing, you know, whoosh, 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 and the spirit of the Antichrist is just throwing the word of God at you to attack you, not to build you up. You need to turn that around and preach at him. Don't fight yourself. Don't fight him. Preach. Preach at him. Say what, no. What say no. Jesus say, mean? I rebuke you. No. God loves me. God cares about me. Then tell me, I'm not going to listen to you. If you can't do that, if you're so upside down in this, then you need to find somebody and say, look, man, I am having Antichrist thoughts that I can't. They are relentless. I want to quit. I'm confused. I can't remember how to put one foot in front of the other. I don't want to serve God anymore. Would you pray for me? Will you fast with me? It's what I told him. I said, you know what? The time is now, son. You see this going around you and people that you love right here underneath your feet. The time is now. Begin. Pray. Preach to him. War against him. Lest he take down people that you love. Lest he stop the kingdom of God. Though the devil come in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. And what is the standard? The word of God. Again, he said. What did he tell him to do? Preach at him. Just preach at him.
So he said, he will raise up a standard, the power of his blood. You know what a standard is? It's a flag, and it's what they rallied their troops around. He said, hold that up, the blood of the Lamb. This is your rallying point. Don't put anything else there. Don't look for anything else. Don't look for any other answer. Don't go looking for another troop to come and save you. You already have the truth. If you will stand on this truth, you will be victorious. Like he told Paul, if you stay with this ship and everyone stays with you, you will all be saved. Not one of you will be lost. What happens is we go, but God, the ship is breaking up. We've already thrown all the food over, and we don't have any lifeboats, and we're going to die, and I can't swim. And he goes, I said, just go to the shore. You'll be fine. I told you if you stayed with the ship, not one of you would perish. You know what Paul said when he got there to the ground? He said, I told you everybody'd be all right. God said it. It's true. Right after that, thought he'd put a little fire in to see if he could warm himself up. Got bitten by a serpent, right? The word's still the same. Not one of you will perish. Not one of you. Even though he was bit by a snake that the natives are like, oh, that man must be a criminal because he's going to die now. God saved him out of the water, but he's going to kill him with a snake. Paul said, get off me. He said, let me show you God is powerful. He did not deny the power of God. He exhibited the power of God. He was like, look, God could have killed me in that shipwreck. If he's going to use a snake, so be it. I don't think so.
Scripture says that God is not a God of disorder. He's not a God of chaos. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of order, and he's a God of peace. And he came to save a man's soul and to bring peace to a man's soul, that we might be at peace with Christ. Submit to God and be at peace with him. If you're all stirred up in your soul, if there's chaos and confusion in your mind, chaos and confusion in your will, chaos and confusion in your emotions around God, the things that you know about him, the things that you've heard about him, the things that you've been taught about him, the things that you've believed about him, I'm going to tell you, you're battling the spirit of the Antichrist. Don't battle yourself. You're not a bad person. You are not insane. The spirit of the Antichrist has come to sow confusion. God came and brought his Holy Spirit to bring peace to your soul. Amen. So, where have you been feeling like the spirit of the Antichrist has been just coming at you, seeking to limit you, seeking to stop you altogether, seeking to get you to choose to die and not live when Scripture says you shall live and not die? Declare the wonders of God. Maybe he's causing you to question the goodness of God. When all of your life you've believed that God was good, and now you're beginning to go, I don't know. Is he really good? If he is good, why does he do those things? Why does he allow those things? Antichrist thoughts come to sow division, come to stop you, come to limit you, come to steal your testimony. Don't let him win.
Because God's word says that we have been given the mind of Christ. And if we have been given the mind of Christ, then we should not have Antichrist thoughts. Those things cannot dwell together. It's what it says, light and dark cannot dwell together.
And
they're
that's
at enmity with one another.
And that's the type of word that comes sometimes into the mind of a believer, and the spirit of the Antichrist cause you feel condemned. Well, if I have the mind of Christ, how come I have all these bad thoughts? I must be a bad person. I must not be a good Christian. Maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe I don't get the whole salvation thing. Because if I already have been given and they say I have the mind of Christ and I'm thinking this, hello, what is wrong with? Nothing's wrong with you. It's the spirit of the Antichrist that's wrong. And that's what you're battling. Amen?
Lord Jesus, as you reveal the spirit of the Antichrist, Lord, The one who has come to kill, steal, and destroy all that you are to your people. The one who has sought to turn us against ourselves, who has sought to bring divisions and schisms, Lord God, who has sought to bring condemnation and doubt. Lord, reveal to your servants the truth. Give us courage, Father, as we walk forward in the truth, to think the Christ-like thoughts. Father, we are human. Your word says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you have given us the ability to come to us, to you. And Father, Judas never turned back to you. But the spirit of suicide came upon him and he killed himself. Lord Peter, the same betrayer, the one who spoke three times against you, you called him. And he came on bended knee. Once again, you have given us a way to come back, Lord. And it's our choice. Help us to listen to the voice of Christ and to silence the voice of the Antichrist. To speak the words of Christ and to silence the words of Antichrist that can come from our own lips. Lord God, let us live as you lived in the flesh, Father. And Father, let us not live for ourselves, which is the spirit of the Antichrist. For Father, we are yours, bought with a price. Help us, Lord Jesus, to hear the voice of the Savior and to be obedient in your name.